Good evening, good evening. Welcome to our Wednesday Recharge. Thank you guys so much for being here. For those of you who have known me for a while, and perhaps even those who have known me only for a very short while, recognize that I believe very much in transparency, honesty, just being pretty straightforward about things. So I'm going to ask you, did you ever hear,
"I don't want to go to school"?
Did you ever say,
"I don't want to go to school"?
You ever said, "I don't want to go to church"? You ever said, "I don't want to pray"? Guilty as charged. I'll tell you, I had kind of a rough time getting the motivation to really want to come down here tonight. I wanna, but I didn't wanna. The reason I didn't wanna is because my world got shaken just a little bit. Now, there have been times, I'm going to tell on Pastor, there have been times where she's told me very late notice that, "Can you take tonight?" That was not what happened. She gave me plenty of time. She told me last week. And the way that I always approach a message is to pray and to meditate and seek the Lord. Lord, what would you have me bring to your people? And then, you know, I can go and I can have time for it to develop. And then you can put your notes down. You can go back and you can review it. And you can say, "Okay, well, you know, can this be trimmed? Can this be changed a little bit? Is there a good illustration I could hear use at this point?" So this week, I'm seeking God, and I'm also listening to my body and my mind. And I'll tell you, I was tired. I was emotionally drained. It's like sometimes you just don't have that oomph. And you're sitting there, "Okay, Lord, 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 Lord." Silence. Crickets. And that's what I was hearing this week. And so because of that, it was very challenging for me to actually want to be down here and say, "Thus saith the Lord." Because, you know, it's not like me. I am always just as excited as I can possibly be to bring the word. And it is such an honor to be able to do that. And if I'm not down here bringing the word, it is an honor and a privilege to sit under the word and soak and recharge and take all of that into our spirit. I love it. But I think that we've all been through seasons, been through times, where we're just running on spiritual, emotional, physical, empty. We've all been tired, distracted, discouraged. You wanna, but you just honestly don't wanna. So, you know, my fear was that tonight I could very easily suffer from what they call imposter syndrome. You know, where you're up here and, you know, the old thing about fake it till you make it. Well, I don't think that's a very good saying myself. I would much rather believe it till you achieve it. That makes a lot more sense to me. But, you know, I'm sitting there and, "Okay, God, you're not telling me what direction that you want me to go. So I don't know what you want me to do." Now, you know, and I'm just saying this only to illustrate a point. I've got probably, the last time I looked was 337, I think, sermon outlines, topics. So it'd be really easy to just go back and pull something. But that doesn't feel right in here. Because that is generic. You know, the word of God is always applicable in some way. But how is it directly applicable at this point in time with what is going on in our lives, what is going on in the world around us, what is going on in God's timing? So there is a responsibility to bring that as well. God bless you, brother. That's my brother-in-law, Willie. Say, hi, Willie. So, you know, last night, I went home, and, you know, you can ask Sylvia if this is not exactly the truth. I went home, and I made myself a cup of tea, and I sat in the recliner after I left church, and I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to rest for just a few minutes. I'm going to catch up and see what's going on with the elections, and then I'm going to go in my office, and I'm going to start working on my message. I'm going to plow through it. I've got to get this done, because it's tomorrow night. Well, I fell asleep in the chair. Sylvia, surprising, actually cooked dinner last night. I do probably 90% of the cooking, but she's done more here lately, so thank you for that. She made us the most delicious hamburger. So I woke up, ate the hamburger, and then went right back to sleep on the chair again. She woke me up about 11 o'clock and said it's time to go to bed. So, do you think that that didn't have me go to the bed with a degree of stress? Okay, gosh, I don't have my message for tomorrow. But I do know one thing for sure about each and every message, and that's what it tells us in Colossians chapter 1, verses 28 and 29. It says, Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all His energy that He powerfully works within me. And I also know God's promise. And this is a promise for me. It's a promise for you. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, He increases strength. So finally, I guess it was probably about 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, I woke up to take a little trip into another small room and got my direction. And I'm thinking, Lord, couldn't you have done it a little bit sooner? So now, yeah, I've got a direction, but I don't have time to put it together unless I want to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, somehow my motivation just wasn't quite there to do that. But failure is not a Christian luxury. We have to do what God instructs us to do. Jesus' brother, James, says to be doers of the word, not hearers only. And then he also tells us three chapters later, so whoever knows the right thing to do, but fails to do it, for him it is sin. Now, everybody know in the New Testament, there is something called hamartia, is the word that is translated. Sin is not necessarily doing evil in the New Testament. It can include doing evil, but it is actually an archery term. It means missing the mark. I didn't hit the target if I have sinned. It's a little different than a trespass. The trespass, I go somewhere I don't belong. If I'm sinning, I'm not doing the thing that I should have been doing. So if you don't wanna, even though you wanna, the best thing is to just keep on keeping on. You just keep going forward. Now, we are all disciples. Disciples is based upon the word discipline. Discipline is doing what is right regardless of what the circumstance may be, what the circumstance may look like, how we feel. You know, it's like they were kind of in those Facebook memes. You know, your feelings don't really mean a whole lot. You can be as offended as you want, but that doesn't change reality. And the same way, too, you know, God sometimes will tell us, hey, you know what? Yeah, you might be tired. You might be frustrated. You might be just absolutely ticked off. So, get up. Go on. And that's what that's what we're called to do. That's the thing about discipline. So, you know, we can get awfully tired in preaching. We might not know what to say. And in prayer, we might not know what to pray. But that doesn't mean that we don't do it regardless. We just keep on keeping on. We are told in 1 Thessalonians to pray without ceasing. It doesn't mean that we're constantly uttering a prayer 24 hours a day. Oh, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. You know, we probably should do a lot more of it than we do. But pray without ceasing means that we consistently always pray. Just like Daniel did when he was in his upper room. We don't take a break in prayer life and say, oh, well, you know what? I prayed last month. This month, I think I'm going to take it a little bit easier. And I'm going to watch Netflix instead. No, sorry. Homie, don't play that. It doesn't work that way. We can't. So what if we are tired? And what if God isn't answering us? What if God seems far away? Well, I'll tell you something. If you feel far from God, guess who moved? That's something I had to look at. Okay, God, is there something in my life? What's going on right now? Am I not focused upon you well enough that you are hearing me, that you are responding to me? Because your still quiet voice is always there. I feel you in my heart all the time. But right now, I'm not feeling you. So consider the following, that prayers, just like sermons, are not performances. It's not about King James Elizabethan English in pious phrases in a spiritually sounding voice. Oh, Lord. He's going, oh, Lord. He wants honesty with us. That's what it's about. You know, prayer and a sermon is about honesty. It's about truth. It's about connection. It's about relevance. You know, you could be crying when you're praying, and that is just as legitimate a prayer under the right circumstances. So could dancing. You know, I love to see some people dancing up in the front. To me, that is a terrifically wonderful way to worship. It can be a song. Sometimes it can just be it just matters about that connection. God understands, so be real with Him. Let your emotions flood out. You know, if you're frustrated, if you're angry, if you are in pain, if you are afraid of something, if you're confused, if you're excited, let it all out. I love reading the Psalms. You know, I'll tell you, David was a man after God's own heart. And I can get so much out of that because all the mess-ups that David did throughout his life, he was still a man after God's own heart because he was quick to repent and he was always worshiping. You know, David was, to me, the epitome of the Christian man because he was the poet warrior. He was not afraid to fight. He was not afraid to love. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. So, you know, you can't lie to him, and who better to understand you than him? And the other thing is that the Holy Spirit intercedes. You know, we all know Romans 8:26, at least I believe that everybody does. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep four words. Even when we lack the words, the Holy Spirit does not. You know, I could get up here and I could just say, oh, gosh, I don't have anything to say. But you know, I've got a promise, because I am told that if I will open my mouth in obedience and be attentive to the Spirit, that He will fill my mouth for me. So all I have to do is be obedient. All any of us have to do is be obedient, because God is not a respecter of persons in any way, shape, or form. He loves everybody equally. What He does not love is sin. What He does not love is trespasses. What He does not love is evil. He loves His children. And He wants to give us the very, very best. And long prayers are not necessarily better. In fact, Jesus spoke against them in Matthew. It says, and when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Jesus, if you look in Scripture, most of His prayers were only a few words long, but they were filled with such faith and such power because He knew the will of His Father. Lazarus, come forth. It wasn't, oh Lord, we just ask You that You would hear our petition, and Lord, our brother who was lying there on that stone, that cold stone, Lord, we just ask You that You would breathe into him that essence of life, Lord, Your breath. No, that wasn't what happened. Lazarus, come forth. Simple, to the point. And remember that prayer is not a payment plan. You know, I've said many, many times, God is not the cosmic ATM machine where, you know, you insert prayer, pull the lever, and get the blessing back out of it. God's going to bless you, but that's not the way it works. God wants that relationship. You know, sometimes when Sylvia and I are either at home or we're taking a drive, we'll just sit and we won't even have a conversation really with one another. We might say a few things, but we're just comfortable being together. What do you think God is like when you just want to sit in His presence and just be with Him? When, you know, Lord, I just thank You that You envelop me in Your arms, Lord, that You lift me up, that You just embrace me, that You dress me in Your raiment. I just thank You, Lord, for this time together. That's really the important thing in our relationship, and that's what prayer is really about. You can say, I'm tired. Good night. I'm stressed. Come with me, please, Lord. Give me some comfort. Why? I'll tell you, that's a really common prayer for me. Why? Why, Lord? Why? He doesn't always answer me, but I ask a lot. And probably my next one is, help me. Help me, Lord. Help me. Those are all very real prayers. What's important is that we direct them to God. And He is the one that is big enough to handle it all for us. We just put our faith in Him. I've been posting a little bit on Facebook again here lately, and one of the things I put up, I know, a couple, 3 days ago, something like that, was, the Man of Steel. My superpower is hope. And that's what each of our superpowers is. When we have hope in what God is capable and God is doing, it's amazing how things will work. Now, what about when God is silent? Is He silent? Sometimes. Between Malachi and Matthew, He was silent for about 400 years. So hopefully none of us have to go that long without hearing an answer from above. But, you know, there's reasons that he might be silent. Part of it is because he may have already answered your prayer through his word. Are you spending enough time in Scripture seeing what thus saith the Lord is actually written down? We've got to do that. Study to show yourself approved, right? Okay, the other thing is that he might just be waiting for you to believe or take action. You know, I've been guilty of it. Sylvia always tells me, you got to take a step of faith, got to take a step of faith. And, you know, I always kind of respond back to her a little flippantly. I said, I have no problem taking a step of faith. I just don't want to take a leap of stupidity. And, you know, there's got to be wisdom for both. Because I will tell you, I'll be very upfront and honest. Sometimes I use that as a defense mechanism because I am afraid of taking that step. God will always call us to do and be more than we can ever possibly imagine. If you are not called to something far bigger than you can ever see yourself, then you're not following God, you're following you. Our God is bigger than that. He will make a way when there seems to be no way. Can also be because fellowship has been broken. That was what I was struggling with because, you know, the enemy will always try to dig into your mind and say, oh, well, you know, you've done something. God can't stomach that. So you need to find out what you've done and you need to ask forgiveness for that. You need to repent and then get back into right standing. Well, I remember a man that I read about in Scripture who was nailed to a Roman cross. And he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And he knew why. Because he had taken the sins of the world upon himself. God could not look upon that sin. But Jesus was completely innocent. So we do have to look for our own internal reasons as well. And sometimes we're asking for the wrong thing, maybe for the wrong reason. You know, it's even possible that if you had an unsaved spouse, you might say you might pray for their salvation, and it could be wrong depending upon why are you doing it. Are you praying for their salvation because you want them to spend eternity in heaven, that you want them to have that relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? Or do you think that, boy, you know, my life would be a whole lot easier if I had a Christian wife instead of a worldly wife, or husband, or child, or friend, or neighbor, or boss, whatever, you know, pick your flavor. But if what you are asking is indeed God's will, just keep praying, keep believing, and keep waiting, keep hoping. I did repost something on Facebook today that I thought was kind of cute. It had a little picture of a little seed, and it says, I have a mustard seed, and I am not afraid to use it. Amen? In Luke 18, Jesus told a parable, in fact, Pastor used it a couple of weeks ago, about a woman who kept bothering an uncaring judge. That woman just would not quit, would not give up. And the judge finally agreed to help her, and Jesus explained that parable in Luke 18:7. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? And I think that's what happened to me this week. God wanted me to go to school, to learn a lesson, that no matter what things might look like, no matter what might be happening in my life, that I have to look to Him, and I have to have faith. God has never, ever left me out to dry when Pastor has given me the honor of coming up to the pulpit. So why would I possibly think that that would happen now? We've got to step in faith. Faith is not a belief. Faith is an action, just like love. Love is emotional, but love is an action of doing something for someone else. So God has a remarkable way of teaching us if we listen with wisdom. So I don't know about you, but I want to go to school. That's a good place because, you know, even whenever I was a kid, when I went to school, even if I didn't want to go, when I got there, I had friends around me and I learned stuff. Cool. That was really kind of neat. I don't see a real big downside to that. But one thing that I do want to leave you with is that if it does not challenge you, it will not change you. If it doesn't challenge you, it won't change you. And how many know that in Scripture, we are a new creation? We take off the old, we put on the new. Take off the old, put on the new. World off, God on. World off, God on. Those are the things that we need to always be aware of. And your prayer is so much more effective than you may even possibly realize at this point. It is so much easier to look backwards and see, oh, God's hand was always there. Look at the things He was guiding, the places that He put me through this path. That path may have looked like it was kind of zigzagged, but, you know, I look at it over time. It's kind of like looking at a stock market chart. You know, you sit there and you see all these little ups and downs, ups and downs, ups and downs. But if you look at it over the last several decades, it's like... And that's what God is doing with us as well. He is taking us to that new place. You know, we just had our election, and that song that you had, Brother Chris, was just so absolutely perfect. That was one of the things I was struggling with, because I had a pretty good premonition of what way the election was going to go. And it's like sometimes you don't want to see the reality of the world around you. But you know what? Facts are subject to change. Truth is eternal. And something that I do believe wholeheartedly is that if it were not for Pharaoh, the children of Israel would have not been released from bondage. If it were not for Pilate, our salvation in Jesus Christ through His sacrifice would have never occurred. Joseph said, what you meant for evil, God turned to good. And it also tells us in Romans the same thing. If we are called according to His purpose, and we diligently seek Him, and we love God, all things that are evil turn to good. So it doesn't matter what we might see with our little tunnel vision eyes, there is a much, much bigger picture out there that God is painting. Amen. So let's get together and have a little bit of prayer time. God bless you all, each and every one. Thank you so very much for being here tonight. And let's put our voices together and lift those petitions to heaven. Give Him praise and glory and thanking for what we are seeing that is being accomplished. We live in an incredibly wonderful time. Amen. God bless.